You'd like God to be on your timetable, especially when you're looking at a deadline. I have found out, and I'm sure you have at some point or another, that God's pace doesn't quicken because we are in a hurry.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into a recent Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Rogers. This is The Secret to Waiting on God. Let's go into the message today.
But it's a thought process because, and the reason why I thought about this, and I often call God the master chess player because he sees from this perspective and we see from this perspective. He sees the move before the next move. And often when you're looking at a chessboard, there are several components moving at the same time that may not have even moved into that place. But you have to think three or four moves ahead in order to be able to play chess. Well, the fact is, God's timing is always perfect, but we have to wait upon that to align ourselves with it. Instead of seeing delays and obstacles inside of our life, we've got to see waiting on the Lord as being God's intervention into the situation, into our lives, because everything doesn't need to happen all at the same time. So can you agree that God's timing is always perfect? I got a real good one over here. I don't know what happened to this crowd over here. But he always reveals it one step at a time. The best thing that we can do is stay connected to the Lord because our life depends on it. And instead of only coming to him in a crisis, which is the majority of the way people pray, crisis prayers. So when you're looking at Psalm 27 here tonight and you're reading it down, I want you to get this because this was written as David, who was a man that God chose for a specific purpose according to his plan, and that plan was laid out before David ever even knew what he was going to be and do. He was anointed three different times as a type and symbol of Jesus Christ in the priest, the prophet, and king anointing. Three different times he was anointed. He was on his way to be the king of Israel. There was no doubt about it. But it did not happen right away. In fact, he was anointed to be king when he was 16 years old, but it didn't come to pass for another 14 years. The timing of the Lord, waiting on the Lord. God's promises are always yes and amen, but the timing many times is unknown to us, just like it was for David in this. And so he concludes at the end of this particular chapter, he's admonishing us from time past, wait on the Lord. And I'm glad that he inserted, be of good courage. Are you hearing me? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. And again, then he reemphasizes wait, I say, upon the Lord. A lot of the time that we see David's life, he's running from King Saul that's trying to kill him. Psalm 27 was written, now follow this, Psalm 27 was written when David tried to go out to battle against a giant, which was Goliath's brother, and almost got killed. In fact, in that passage of Scripture, it's one that I've referred to many times. Goliath was already dead and David had aged, and he got to the point where he felt like in his mind, I can still go out to battle. I'm still as young and vibrant as I used to be, but he didn't realize that age thing had crept up on him. Okay? And so he got out, jumped out, and went out into battle to fight this giant. But the Bible says, this is a powerful thing, you should look it up. I can't remember the passage of Scripture. But the Bible makes a reference to the fact that this particular giant, Goliath's brother, came to him with a new sword, which is a new method, a new means of attack. That's the reason the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are not to be ignorant concerning the wiles or the methods of the devil, because he'll flip around and change it up on us, and he comes at us with a different sword. Okay? Same intent, different method. And he almost got killed had it not been for those that were around him. And from that day forward, there's a powerful story there. From that day forward, David's mighty men looked at him and said, listen, from this day, in fact, I believe it was Abishai that jumped out, one of his close mighty men jumped out and killed that giant. And he said, from this day forward, David, you're not going out anymore. Watch this. Lest the light of Israel go out. If you take the light of Israel out, if the light of Israel is killed, then we will have no one to lead us. So from this day forward, you're not going out anymore. We're going to fight these giants. And if you don't know it, I was amazed one time. We sent our son when he was real small to, he was going to the little Christian school there in town, and he went to the class that day, and I think he was dressing up or something like that. We sent five smooth stones with him for this particular day. You know, David picking up five smooth stones, and his Christian teacher, when he said, my dad sent these stones, one was for Goliath, and the other four were for his brothers. And she looked at him and said, I've never heard of that before. So you should read this Bible now. There's some stuff in here. Because he had four other brothers. That's the reason why he picked up five smooth stones. And one of those came against him. So with all of that in mind, David is here after having encountered this near-death experience, and he learns a valuable lesson. Don't be hasty. Wait on the Lord. I want to give you some practical steps here, and your pen and paper's ready, your iPods, iPads, iPhones, whatever that it may be. Here we go. Why do we have to wait on the Lord? Well, we have to wait on the Lord so he can prepare us for his plan. When you're talking about the will of God, God is always moving our lives into a position at the right time so his plan can be fulfilled. When we wait on the Lord, it speaks to how much we value what God has in store for us. Impatience only demonstrates that we really want our way and not God's way. Secondly, to purify our motives. To purify our motives. Jeremiah said we don't even know what our own heart is like. So when we don't get something from God we think we need, then we've got to examine our motives. Why do I want that? Is this a selfish thing? Is this envy on my part? You got to ask some questions of yourself. How, if I get this, how is it going to affect someone else? Are you hearing me? How will this affect my family? How will this affect my children? How will this affect those that are around me in my sphere of influence? Because sometimes people want to flaunt the blessing instead of the blesser. How important it is that we align our hearts. And what is God doing by us waiting? He's aligning our character because he's making us wait on something. Now I'm going to tell you, I thank God for the microwave, don't you? I mean, there's like, they wised up one day and they got microwave popcorn. Okay? So for all of you that are having like stomach withdrawals from your fasting, popcorn is corn. Okay? So they wised up, and instead of you having to now punch in that on most microwaves, you're going to find a little button up there that says popcorn. So you can just throw that little dude in there and push the button, and away you go. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like the meal that's been prepared over the process of time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, quite frankly, here I go. I'm going to mess with all of y'all. You're trying to fast. We're all trying to fast. I'm talking about food. But I'm just going to tell you, chicken and dumplings is better on the second day. The black-eyed peas usually are better on the second day. Okay, that's as far as the food that we'll talk about. Here, what is he doing? He's protecting us from mistakes. Do you know when you rush into things, many times it's not thought through. You find out that you step into a mess. When God sees us moving in the wrong direction, what does he do? Now, some people don't connect the dots with this. God puts obstacles in our way to keep us from messing up. And without anybody disclosing, raising your hand, or hanging a sign out, how many of you in this place have run right over the top of the obstacles that God put in your way to stop you from doing something that you shouldn't do? Okay? It is God's love for us that slows us down and says, wait. Because it's His desire. It's His desire that causes Him to do that, because He does love us so much. He doesn't want us to go in the wrong direction. So He is preparing us. Come on, say, He's preparing us. He's purifying us. He's protecting us. And then to produce the greatest good for His and for His glory, the greatest good in our life. Listen, I don't want the best the devil has. I want the best that God has. And when God doesn't seem to answer our prayer, it's not that He's being unkind to us, but He's molding us and making us for His best. There is no second best in the kingdom. He's not giving you some hand-me-down blessing that somebody else refused, and He's going to give it to you because there's nobody else to give it to. When God gets ready to bless you, it's your blessing with your name on it. Are you hearing me? Aligning ourselves with the Word of God and waiting upon the Lord, we will receive the best that He has for us. Waiting is a hard thing. So waiting will cause a response in one of three different ways in our life. The first one is manipulation. Now, nobody wants to admit to trying to manipulate God, but let me just give you a little background on this. Sometimes we move around obstacles to get our way. Watch this. But that places us outside of the will of God, and the consequences are the reward, watch this, of our own doing. We call something a blessing that God said, I didn't intend for you to have that. I must be hitting in some good place. There's some quiet folk in here tonight. Manipulation. That's witchcraft. And I just want to warn you, don't try to handle God. He got a bigger hand, you know what I'm saying? All right, so ceasing intercession is another one. In other words, cease praying. I prayed, Pastor, and nothing's happened. Listen, let me just say this to you. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. In fact, God is working right now behind the scenes in your behalf. If you knew what He was preparing for you, this is what the scripture says. Eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard. Watch this. Nor hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared. Hath, past tense, hath prepared for those that love Him. Amen. Do you love Him? Amen. Come on, I can't tell from your faces. Do you love Him? Amen. If you love Him, then He's preparing something for you that would blow your mind if you knew it right now. You don't believe it, do you? Well, I know. I know in the resurrection one day. Jesus is saying to you in 2019, I've got things prepared for you that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that I have prepared for you that's coming right away. In fact, before I got here, I'm glad the Holy Ghost reminded me. He's the divine reminder. God said to tell you that the doors are going to be opened up, and when God opens the door, no devil in hell can shut it. Somebody ought to give God praise for that right there. You don't have to handle God, and whatever you do, don't stop praying. In fact, in one parable, He's admonishing us to press on in prayer. When you give up praying, you're saying, God, I don't believe You anymore. The third level is where we need to be, waiting and watching. Prepare yourself and wait on the Lord.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.